feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to the patient, community, and medicine since 1879. By The Alchemist, serving the greater Waterbury community since 2003. By Fairpoint Communications, small businesses make it big with Fairpoint. By Let's Grow Kids, focusing on the first years of child development. By Green Mountain Power. And by National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years, working for a better tomorrow, as well as over 750 VBSR members. Here is David Goodman.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation. Today, we are traveling to Mount Snow in southern Vermont to speak with two women leaders in sustainable business who happen to be both presenting today at VBSR's 22nd Annual Fall Conference. In the second half of our show, we'll be talking with Sarah Newmark, who's the Director of Sustainability at New Chapter. And in our first half, we'll be talking with Allison Hooper. Cheesemaker and entrepreneur Allison Hooper was one of the first artisan cheesemakers in the U.S. Hooper and Bob Reese co-founded Vermont Creamery in 1984 and started bringing the everyday cheese and dairy delicacies of France to the American table. At the helm of the artisan cheese movement in Vermont and as president of the American Cheese Society from 2005 to 2008, Hooper has been a voice for and mentor to cheesemakers throughout the U.S. Vermont Creamery's creations have won more than 100 awards nationally and internationally over the past 30 years. Vermont Creamery is also a certified B Corporation and is supporting local farms, developing future farmers, and engaging employees to create a meaningful workplace while also contributing to the vibrancy of the Vermont community. Allison, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
So, first you have to tell us, is there any snow in Mount Snow?
Oh, is there snow in Mount Snow? There is snow in that. There's natural snow, and they've been blowing snow this morning, and they're getting ready to open the slopes. Yeah.
Well, I know you've just delivered a keynote address called Legacy, Land, and Leadership, an Agricultural Entrepreneur's Journey. What were some of the things that you've wanted to highlight to the attendees at the VBSR Fall Conference?
Well, yeah, that's a loaded title, isn't it? You know, what we did is try to rewind the business a little bit. It's been 30 years. And sort of tell the story of how we got started and a little bit about where this idea of making cheese in Vermont originated, and sort of walk the attendees through a sort of series of lessons learned in business, hoping that they were transferable, but then touch on a little bit some of the early years of being a VBSR member and working on public policy issues at the State House and starting the Vermont Cheese Council, and also being a mother of three and starting a business at the same time. So.
Well, let's start with the last part first. Mother of three, starting a business, and not just any business, one based in agriculture, which we know is 24/7, which you did in addition to being a mom, which is 24/7. So how do you find 48 hours in each day to do your, your job?
Well, let's see. When we started, I was 24. So about 10 years into the business, I had my first child, and I really had to stop making cheese every day because the hours of making cheese, doing things very early in the morning and at odd times of the day, weren't conducive to hauling a child to and from daycare. But that said, child one, Miles, was 2.5, Don and I had twins. So we had three kids under 2.5. And, you know, I think that when you find out you're having twins, there isn't a lot of, there's not, there's, there's nothing you can do about it except love those kids to death, and which we do, and you sort of roll with whatever comes your way, and try to, this is something that I tell the women in my business and certainly in our leadership team is, look, forget about perfection. You're gonna get through a period of, you know, when your kids are little toddlers and then they're gonna grow up and they're gonna be teenagers and you're gonna wanna hang out with them, but you know, if you're a driven businesswoman who measures herself on achievement and again perfection, you're gonna have to let it go of that. And things are gonna work out. So you know, we just try to be a good role model for them.
Do you think, I mean, you've mentioned this idea of letting go of perfection. Is that something that you feel like as a woman you were holding yourself to a higher standard on?
Not necessarily. I don't think that I would make a statement that says that women hold themselves to perfection more than men. It's not really a gender question. I think that in the role of leadership in business, the expectations are very high, and for women who are evolving their career or see themselves advancing in a company or in their career, the balance of family and career is tricky. I mean, I think we often see women who don't pursue higher levels of responsibility in companies for fear that they're going to fall short or they're not going to be able to attend to their families in the way that they'd like. So I think that what happens is, in my experience, women in leadership in businesses have, with children, have a unique, come from a place of compassion for those that work for them. And there's a very human side of, you know, women CEOs with kids. And you know, I can say that if I were starting out again and I had three kids again under age 2.5 and working for somebody else, I'd want to work for somebody who had had that experience.
And why? I mean, what do you feel that you do differently in your business as a result of your experience as a mother?
I think that, you know, you have to be flexible. You have to embrace a certain level of chaos. You know, I can, you know, there are numerous examples of days when, and I say this repeatedly, there are so many things that go wrong in the business. And when something goes wrong with your child, when the school calls you or, you know, your child is unhappy, there's nothing more deflating than a problem with your child. And so, you know, I'm always amazed at how the worst calamities in the business don't rattle me, but things that happen to your children rattle us. And I just think that it's a great life lesson. It provides for a high level of resiliency and ability to work through problems and, you know, the challenges of the real world. Our lives don't get less complicated. They get more complicated with the more technology that's heaped on us and the higher expectations of being on all day long, plugged in all night, all weekend, makes it, presents some interesting challenges in terms of work-life balance.
We're talking with Allison Hooper on the Vermont Conversation. She is the co-founder of the Vermont Creamery. You can join the conversation at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. What are some of the most useful or innovative things that you've added to the Vermont Creamery that are more family-friendly that perhaps you didn't have when you started the business, but you see that it's made a difference?
Well, we've added some paid paternity leave. I think that that's something that it has been a delight to see a lot of these young guys who work for us who have babies, and, you know, they want to spend some time with their newborn. And
how much paternity leave do they get?
They get a week of maternity leave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At paternity. So, and, you know, I think that, it's important. And we've tossed around the idea of trying to figure out whether we could do a daycare in our business or a daycare in our industrial park. And, you know, these are ongoing conversations that we wrestle with yearly, and I'm always happy to try to figure out how to make that work. One of the things that we want to be assured is that when we find employees who are a great fit for our company, add huge value, and fit with the culture of the business, the last thing we want is for them to decide that they can't continue to work for us because they're having children and they can't figure out how to get it all done. And so that's a real blow for Vermont Creamery if we lose talent. We want to try to make it work. And I think that having been through that with three kids, and continue to run, you know, a business and grow a business, I think that there are ways to make it work, and we're always open to figuring out how to do that.
Well, let's shift gears here for a minute. We just finished an election here in Vermont, and it's a time where we've been hearing a lot of kind of talk about the challenges of living and doing business in Vermont, whether it's around taxes, schools, or whatever. What would you say are the both the challenges and the benefits, and how do they balance out for you as a business person?
Well, you know, gosh, some of the remarks in the talk were really about the advantages of doing business in Vermont, and certainly from our point of view, as a company that's in the agricultural business, we're very grateful for the level of sort of stewardship of the state through, you know, programs, whether it's Act 250 to Housing Conservation Trust Fund or, you know, the environmental protection, consumer protection, all those things have contributed to our success on some level. I think that the things that provide the kind of environment that I want to live in and raise my family in allow us to attract good people to the business and want to stay in Vermont. And, you know, that stuff doesn't happen by accident. I think it's really, it's been fairly intentional. And while Vermont may seem overly progressive in terms of those policies, if you were to look out 5-10 years from now, I think that some of the things that we're doing today will be very much appreciated down the road, just as we pointed out some of the things that we did you know, 20 years ago in Vermont are very much appreciated today in terms of agriculture and forestry and, you know, renewable energy, those kinds of businesses.
So, like, what do you see that's in the air or in the proposal stages today that you think will be beneficial in 10 or 20 years as you look back?
Well, I think just as if we, well, on the continuum of good public policy, in terms of an economic development policy, in 1997, I think it was, we started the Sustainable Jobs Fund, which was in the State House a very kind of progressive idea that the state would put public funds from the general fund into fostering or helping natural resource-based businesses in agriculture, forestry, and renewable energy. And having done that with a $250,000 seed, that fund has blossomed, leveraging, you know, four times the amount of private funding to evolve to the Working Lands Initiative, providing loans and grants to small businesses around the state, to the Farm to Plate Initiative that's really trying to take inventory of the things that we are doing in Vermont in agriculture and being very thought-filled and strategic about how to leverage those businesses to go to the next level. If they're not sustainable, how do we help them become sustainable? All initiatives that, for what I think is not that much money, can create jobs.
When we talked, when you were a guest on the Vermont Conversation a year and a half ago, you had talked at that time about some of the concerns that you had as a dairy farmer about the GMO labeling law as it was proposed at that time in 2013. How has it worked out with the law that passed this year?
Well, interestingly, the law that passed exempts dairy and meat. And what is problematic with that from the point of view of trying to create transparency for the consumer is that what that means is that since dairy is exempt, if we are making cheese from milk from a cow that has been fed GM corn, we are not required to label our product as GMO. And but the consumer doesn't probably, I would imagine, they're not making that distinction. So while the product doesn't say non-GMO, there's a level of transparency that we're not seeing. Now, that said, I will say that nationally in the trade, while it's not legislated, Whole Foods Market has mandated that their customers will have mandatory GMO labeling in 5 years. So for those of us who are buying milk or cream from a conventional dairy farmer, we'll be required to label our products either GMO or non-GMO for Whole Foods. There are a number of us in the Northeast who are interested in trying to figure out how to develop a non-GMO source of milk. And it's a very complex web of of untangling what has taken many years to develop, but worth doing, worth looking at anyway. Yeah.
And you were supportive of the exemption for dairy, am I correct?
I was not supportive or not or against. What I like about the Whole Foods approach is that because it's complicated, they are giving the dairy and meat world time to find alternatives, which our company is in the process of doing.
Hmm. Tell me a little bit about Vermont Creamery becoming a B Corporation. What does it mean, and why did you do it?
The reason that we did it was because I wanted to develop a deeper mission of sustainability in the business and make that a much bigger conversation on our management team. So the B Corp was a way to bring structure to that conversation, and going through the assessment was a way to show our company that walking the talk of sustainability is difficult, and we can set some, we can and should and will set goals for ourselves in terms of carbon reduction, ways in which we engage with the community, our employees, in a much more structured, thoughtful way, and B Corp does that.
So Vermont Creamery, this is the 30th anniversary this year, is that right? So what did you wish, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you started the business 30 years ago?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think that if I could dial back the time, if I had been more assertive in the value of what we do, in terms of buying milk from farms, turning that into cheese, and making it into a great product that people, you know, buy. In the 30 years ago, because there was no context for artisan American-made cheeses, those of us starting out struggled to get it in people's mouths, much less really build in the value and talk about it so that we were able to make sure that the farmers were getting the price that they needed for their milk, through the supply chain. So now we're kind of playing catch up with that. We're really going back and we're spending a lot of time, you know, raising the price of milk, talking about it to our customers, helping consumers understand what really goes into producing a pound of milk, producing a pound of cheese, and assuring, you know, giving them all the things that they want, and feeling good about the value of the product. So I guess had I done that, had I had the confidence to do that, when we first started, it might be different today, although I don't have huge regrets.
Okay, well, Allison Hooper, I want to thank you for joining us once again on the Vermont Conversation.
Okay.
Allison Hooper is the co-founder of the Vermont Creamery, and we'll be back just after the news.
Looking good, Mr. King of the Hill. Mr. DXL Shopperman. Mr. Sharp Dressing. Confidence oozing. Style swaggering. Fashion stud. Looking good. All the best men's brands, waist size 38 and up. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, select dress shirts are just $49.50 each when you buy two or more.
Walgreens has a question. Where do you go when you need a few groceries but want to avoid the grocery store line? Like the I'm getting older by the minute. You call this an express lane line? Walgreens also has an answer. It's us. We're just around the corner with essentials like milk, snacks, and paper towels. And with short lines, you can be in and out fast. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with cards, Starbucks 4-pack beverages are $4.99 and Tostitos chips are 2 for $5.
AP Update. I'm Diane Kepley. Not all the details are in, but President Obama is ready to make a primetime announcement tomorrow on his decision to take executive action on immigration. In a video released on Facebook, the president says Washington has allowed the problem to fester for too long. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson is confident the action will address some of the issues facing the current system.
We've identified a number of executive actions that we can take within our existing legal authority to fix what everyone recognizes is a broken immigration system.
But the issue for GOP members of Congress is the way in which the president has decided to act.
He said he didn't have the authority to do it time and time and time again. And now he has totally done a flip-flop 180 degrees.
That's Republican Senator John Cornyn. House Speaker John Boehner's spokesman says the executive order could ruin the chances for congressional action on this issue. AP Update. I'm Diane Kepley.
Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility. Please to provide Vermont Conversations with David Goodman. Underwriting is provided by National Life Insurance. Fairpoint Communications by Let's Grow Kids. The Alchemy Brewery, Fletcher Allen Healthcare, and Green Mountain Power, as well as over 750 VBSR members.
Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation, where we're once again returning to Mount Snow in southern Vermont, where VBSR is holding its 22nd annual fall conference. And we're continuing our conversation on women leaders in sustainable business. Our guest in this half hour is Sarah Newmark. She is the Director of Sustainability at New Chapter, which is the first company to make a complete line of organic vitamins and supplements. They are located in Brattleboro. Sarah, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let me just start by having you tell us a little bit about New Chapter, since up here in northern Vermont, we don't hear so much about companies based in southern Vermont.
Well, I would love to. We have been located in Brattleboro for over 30 years. We employ about 250 people in the local Brattleboro area. And like you said, we make vitamins and herbal supplements made with organic ingredients. We are, our whole line of products is non-GMO project verified. And we are a really great place to do business in southern Vermont.
So an employer of 250, that's really big for Vermont. You must be one of the biggest employers in the Brattleboro area.
Yeah, we definitely are one of the biggest employers in the area. And it's southern Vermont. It is disconnected a little bit from the northern half of the state, but it really is a nice business community down south here.
So tell me a little bit how you got involved with New Chapter.
Well, I started at New Chapter 9.5 years ago, and I came over and started working on some of our philanthropic and event planning, and noticed that as you know, we were a mission-driven company. We have been committed to organic agriculture and non-GMO from the very beginning, and healing through the natural wisdom of herbs and spices. And but in our growth, I had noticed that some areas where we had been committed to or in our environmental work had maybe been overlooked as we grew. So I worked with one of the founders to kind of tackle the low-hanging fruit the, you know, making sure that the papers we use were all recycled and had the highest percentage of recycled content and things of that nature. And from that, we started to understand, well, we really need somebody working on this full time to really make sure that as we grow, we stay true to the mission and values of when we started as a company. And so I moved into the sustainability role and now am the director of that department.
What does sustainability mean to you?
Well, it's really interesting. I almost don't even use the word sustainability anymore because even though it's officially in my title, I like to think more of doing business with regeneration in mind, a regenerative approach to how we do business. I don't necessarily think that we need to sustain where we are today. I think we need to make improvements. So that's how I look at my work. How can we leave as a company, our legacy as a company, to make this world better? Not by staying where we are, but by keeping improving. My work looks like everything from working on our philanthropic efforts to our carbon footprint to ethical sourcing, making sure that as a business, we're making good choices, as we do business every day. It's one of the main driving forces why we became a certified B Corp, so that we can make sure that we are on the path to not just sustain, but to do better.
So when you came on as the director of sustainability, it was not all smooth sailing and selling people in the company on this. Talk about some of the bumps in the road that you've encountered and what,
sure,
what others can learn from that.
I think the main thing the first thing one would do when coming in and, you know, managing sustainability for a company is getting high-level leadership involved. You need leadership buy-in in order to really do any programs, start any programs. One of my biggest learning experiences was after we had, you know, that was easy for us almost. It was high-level leadership. It was all about this. They're pushing it forward. And, in fact, they pushed it forward, and they wanted us to go at it so fast that middle management didn't have the time to catch up. And we didn't have the policies in place to make middle management responsible for implementing some of these sustainability or mission-aligned projects. So a huge part of my learning was that it was going to take a lot of time, that it was going to be slow, because even though we had this buy-in at the top, the middle-level buy-in just wasn't there because they had their own priorities, and it wasn't built in necessarily to their performance indicators, some of the more sustainability-related initiatives. So we worked long and hard to get that into place. And now what I can say is that, you know, part of all of our management's evaluation is based on some sustainability-related initiatives, so that's really helped our program move forward. I've been working on getting ethical sourcing and auditing in place at New Chapter for many years, and once we started to put that into the director of supply chain's responsibilities is when it really took off. So that was a huge more of real learning of how to incorporate sustainability into a company, even a company whose, you know, history was, we've been a mission-driven company for so long, but it still takes time and understanding of how to really get our issues on the work plans of management.
Talk about the challenge of doing right when, you know, a lot of your sourcing, you have a slogan on your website, rooted locally, sourced globally.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting products from India and other countries. So talk about how you're able to make a difference in the places where you get your supplies from.
Sure, that's a great question, and it's my most passionate part of my work, I think, is that idea of making sure that everybody along the supply chain is taken care of and make sure that they are happy and healthy just as we want our end consumers to be. It's challenging. You know, we are a global company. Ginger and turmeric doesn't really grow here in Vermont, and in the New England area. So we definitely go to the far parts of the world where the herbs that we use and are indigenous and come from. So that brings us to India and China and places where, you know, there's some concern about how workers are treated and making sure that all that all laws are being followed. So the one thing that we do to try to preserve and make sure and protect the people in our supply chain is sourcing organically and non-GMO. That on an environmental front, make sure that we're protecting the land and the people that are involved in farming for us every day. And on top of that, we worry about their well-being. We worry that they're being paid fair wages, and organic does, you know, make sure that, you know, you are paid a little bit of higher premium for organic materials, but are putting into place audit programs that go along with our supplier code of conduct to make sure that we're asking the right questions, that we're engaged as much as possible with our supplier partners around the world. I recently got back from India about 8 months ago, and I try to get out there to some of our growers that provide us with the most of what we use, the gingers and turmerics and green tea, to really start to understand how things are sourced and how we can better caretake the people in our supply chain.
And how do you know that Indian farmer is getting paid a livable wage?
Well, there are ways, you know, one of a way to do it is to actually go about getting a certified fair trade or Fair for Life certified product. It doesn't really work well within our industry. There are only a few materials that come under that certification. So what we do is work with our supplier partners and ask them questions. How often do they go out? What do they pay their workers? And have it start to push back up the supply chain so that we can start to understand how the farmers are paid, making sure that they are being taken care of. But it's a big job and a lot of work, and we're not perfect at it in any extent, but we're really doing our best to try to make sure that we are asking the right questions and requiring the right documentation.
You're listening to the Vermont Conversation, and we're talking with Sarah Newmark, who is the chair of the board of VBSR and is also the director of sustainability at New Chapter. Sarah, what led you to want to get involved in something other than the business? You're involved in VBSR and other groups. You're busy enough. Why do these other things?
Well, I believe in VBSR's mission, and I think that as a business in Vermont that's standing up for social responsibility, it was an easy decision to become a member of VBSR. But as I got more involved, I realized that my passion is in sustainable business, you know, creating change through progressive business, and this was a wonderful group of people to get involved with that had the same mission. I certainly am busy. I'm a new mom, and I have a lot on my plate, and but you know, true to being a socially progressive company like New Chapter VBSR, when they asked me to be the chairman of the board, I said, "But I'm having a baby," and they said, "No worries, we can all lean in and help you make it work." And so that's what I love about being in the type of business that we're all supporting here at VBSR, is that there is support and there is a network of people and a community of people that stand behind you.
So how has being a new mom changed your perspective on what a sustainable workplace looks like?
Wow, well, being a new mom has changed my perspective on everything. So it's easy to see how it could also change my perspective on business. I mean, I am lucky that I get to bring my daughter to work some days. I travel with her on business trips, and I think that creating an environment for new mothers to succeed in business and also at home is a key foundation for what it means to be a sustainable, progressive business. It is this time in my daughter's life is precious and of the utmost importance. She needs her mama, and I'm really happy and honored that I work for a company or am involved in an organization that allows me to do so. So I believe that it is a company's it's in their best interest to support mothers during this time. We become more productive workers because we're more engaged and we feel better about the job that we're doing and the work that we're doing at our jobs because our company takes care of us.
Are there things that you've changed or suggested be changed at your company that you didn't know about before you had a baby?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of it is as having to do, it kind of comes back to B Corp for us, actually, because we're going through our reassessment, and we've been looking at the questions where we need to focus some attention on, and I've naturally been drawn to some of the areas that focus on flex time and maternity leave, because that's the space I'm in right now. So we are actually, you know, we have a flex time policy, but it's not written down, and it's very important that policies get written down and communicated so that everybody is under the same understanding of where they stand. So flex time is one that is practiced at my company, but not written down, and we are going to working at writing down a policy for flex time to support people through this transition like mine and anything else that may be going on in an employee's life.
Your father, Tom Newmark, was the CEO of New Chapter.
Yes.
So what challenges did it present being the daughter of the CEO in the business?
Well, it was a blessing and a curse. It's funny because he's actually here right now, babysitting my daughter while I'm on this call. So the tables have turned a little bit, it was wonderful. We had a wonderful, amazing working relationship. I learned a lot more, I think, about business than I would have had I not had that access to him. I was involved a lot more, I think, especially, you know, getting my positions and policies put into place because he was the CEO. And on the other hand, I had a lot to prove, not only to him, but to everyone at the company, if not more so than the regular employee, because he was my father. I had to show that I was, my worth was needed at the company, that I was not just there because I was his daughter, and that took a lot of time and effort. And in some ways, after he's gone, I sit on leadership now at the company, and I've proven myself. And I learned a lot. I had a wonderful time working with him. I miss it every day. My leadership role within the company has grown since he's left, and so it was wonderful all in all. But it was hard at times too.
Let's talk a little bit about GMOs and GMO law that was just passed in Vermont. This is kind of a cornerstone of New Chapter, your company. Mm-hmm. How did you interact with the whole GMO law process, and what's your feeling about the law that got passed?
Well, I'm so proud of the state of Vermont, and I really am so happy to do business in a state that that was the first to pass GMO legislation. I think it's really wonderful, and we all at New Chapter are very proud to do business here. We were supporting the legislation. I testified, I think, a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, on behalf of the bill, and supported the process any way that we could. We brought, we partnered with Ben & Jerry's and brought a film down to Vermont, to Brattleboro, to educate people on the legislation and why it was so important. Like you said, it's a foundational mission for us, and we think that state legislation is a step in the right direction, although we focus our attention on national labeling, wanting to see a national approach to the issue of GMO labeling. But I certainly think that what Vermont did was getting us closer to that end goal.
It sounds like as part of your job, you speak with other companies, you do some proselytizing around the issue of sustainability. How do you convince people who are new to this area, to the field of sustainability or regenerative economy, as you say, that it's worth it because it does involve some costs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of our job is to show the value of what we're doing. If you're in business, you do have to show that that it's worth it. And in a lot of cases, there are costs associated with making the more green decision, but in a lot of cases, that there's cost savings involved. So really, I think that for a sustainability person within a company is learn how to show where it's going to cost and show where there's going to be savings, because I think in the end, it'll net out, and you will be making good decisions for the best of our community.
Does a company need a sustainability officer?
I don't think that necessarily you need one person dedicated to it. That being said, It is certainly nice to have, in the way that we've set it up with my job, is to have one place for people to go. People get busy. It is, and what you don't want to see is sustainability initiatives and goals put to the bottom of the to-do list because they have their other responsibilities. So the way that we've set it up, which is an independent department that directly reports to the CEO, I can be rest assured that our initiatives are not put at the bottom of the to-do list. And that can happen if you don't have somebody dedicated to this work.
So you were involved in teaching a workshop this morning at the VBSR conference there at Mount Snow.
Yes.
And the workshop was engaging employees in measuring what matters. So how do you do that?
Well, we do that in a couple ways. B Corp has been really wonderful to help us decide what we're going to look at and give us the criteria and metrics to get there. And so since what we do then is we engage with our employees to help them make decisions based on the questionnaire that B Corp, the assessment that B Corp gives out.
So I should have you just explain what a B Corp is and,
sure.
and what B Corp as an organization does for you.
Great. So we are a certified B Corporation, which means that instead of looking at just the financial bottom line of a company, we weigh the social and environmental bottom line into our decision making at a corporate level. The B stands for benefit. It's a for-benefit corporation. There's two different parts. One is there is an assessment, which is administered and run by an organization called B-Lab, which goes into companies and asks you to fill out a very long questionnaire about all of your practices and policies and ask you to document them, and then they give you a score, and you need to get over a certain amount of score to be certified. And we have done that. And it's a very transparent process. So all of our scores and all of our questions can be found on their website. It's basically like a very detailed corporate social responsibility report that we make very public and that we commit to doing every 2 years. That's one big piece of it. The other big piece to it is that you actually have to go in and change your corporate status from a traditional C corp, in our case, to a actual B corporation in the state of Delaware as it is for us. So there's two big pieces to what it means to be a B corp. We became a B corp in January, and we're really proud of it because of what it says is we're here, we're showing you our commitments, and we're committing to the long term to not only stay the same, but to get better. And it's a wonderful movement, and I encourage all of you out there to look up B Corps, shop B Corps. That way you know when you're walking to a store and you see the B Corp seal that you're buying a product from a company that commits to doing good for its employees and the environment and the community in which we do business in.
Okay, so let's go back to how you engage employees in measuring what matters.
So one way we do that is we have a Be the Change committee. So we have a group of employees that have self-selected to work on these issues of corporate social responsibility. They make philanthropic decisions for the company on a local level. They are involved in HR policy and looking at what some of these B Corp questions of, you know, the flex time was a good example of what's important to me as a stakeholder of this company and pushing through to the company to say, hey, this is what matters most to us. They look at our initiatives around New Chapter, how we could become more efficient, more better use of our waste streams, really getting into the big issues of what it means to be a good corporate citizen. They are not only involved, but they're directing the company of where to go. That's a main way that we engage with our employees. We have other committees. We have a culture committee, which brings to life our company credo, which is basically the living document of our mission and values. And they do a lot of things around the company to make it a good place for people to work, and they hold that responsibility. So there's a lot of ways, mostly by self-selected committees, that our employees can be a part of actual real decision-making at the company.
One of the things that in looking at something that you've written about guide points for sustainable sustainability, you talk about being a yellow light. What's that mean?
Oh, well, that was a wonderful piece of advice from one of my mentors who said, as a sustainability professional, you cannot go into a meeting and be a red light, meaning that I can't go in and say, we must do this, because I'm always going to be pushed out, or, you know, sometimes I will and sometimes I won't. What you need to go in and be a yellow light. Let leadership and let the company know that these are the issues. Be the cautionary pause. Know, convince them to slow down when you make, to make these decisions. That way you get people on board, you get people the time to understand why these issues are so important, not just to the community, but to the business, why it adds value to our business. And only by being a yellow light can you do that. Pushing things too fast or making things stop too suddenly will just derail your cause.
Okay, we're talking with Sarah Newmark. She is the Director of Sustainability at New Chapter, and we have a caller on the line, Frank from Craftsbury. Frank, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hi, thank you. I was listening as I come through from Montpelier to Hardwick, and I just got home. I didn't have cell phone service, but I wanted to call earlier. I didn't hear a lot of the conversation, but, you know, something that strikes me as odd is the alliance between Vermont Businesses of Social Responsibility and Vermont Butter and Cheese Creamery. Something people need to know is that Vermont Butter and Cheese built that business on the backs of poor, unwitting farmers. They exploited farmers from day one.
So, Frank, Allison Hooper was the guest on the first half, and she would
that.
Be the person who I think could answer your questions. I don't think either Sarah Newmark or I will be able to answer
I'm
your question.
I'm not asking any questions.
This.
I'm just trying to inform your listeners, and obviously Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is unaware of some of their business practices also, and that's all I'm trying to do, is to get people to be open-minded about how they have done businesses.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for your call. And next time we have Allison Hooper on.
Yeah, any questions too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. So, Sarah, we just have a minute left. Do you have any parting thoughts about people who might be listening who have their own businesses who want to move in the direction of being more sustainable?
Sure. I would say, you know, just asking the question and wanting to get started is the good first start. Start with low-hanging fruit. Look for easy ways to make changes at first. Look at, you know, you can go to the VBSR website, and we have some help on there to guide companies to ask the right question, what questions to ask, and you can take an assessment to see where you stand so you can not go at this alone. I think that it's very overwhelming, and partnering with the right people and the right organizations to help you lead the way is the right approach, because you can't do it alone. Just like in life, you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone in business.
Okay. Well, Sarah Newmark, I want to thank you for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Newmark's the Director of Sustainability at New Chapter, which makes herbal supplements and vitamins. They're based in Brattleboro, employ over 250 people. That'll do it for this week's Vermont Conversation. You can hear this and all shows at VermontConversation.com, and we'll be back next week, Wednesday at 1, here on WDEV.
You've been listening to Vermont Conversations with David Goodman. Listen Wednesdays at 1 as Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and their some 750 members, along with additional support from National Life Insurance for over 150 years, working for a better tomorrow, Fairpoint. Small businesses make it big with Fairpoint. By The Alchemist, serving Greater Waterbury since 2003. By Let's Grow Kids, focusing on the first years of child development. By Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to the patient, community, and medicine since 1879. And Green Mountain Power. all partnering with customers to promote clean, reliable, and cost-effective power. Join us next Wednesday at 1 o'clock for Vermont Conversations with David Goodman.
Locally owned and operated, 96.1 WDEV FM in Warren, FM 96.5 in Barrie, and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury, Montpelier.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane.